Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Money is the root of all evil. How many times have you heard that statement? All my life. Well, it's true, though. But I've heard this quoted many times. But that's not what actually is written in the Bible. It's the love of money that is quoted. Here's 1 Timothy 6, verse 10. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pursed themselves with many pangs. So, my friends, is money in itself really bad? No. Do we need money in our lives? Of course. We need food and water. We need those artificial caves to live in. We need clothing and shoes. We need heating, air conditioning, you know, especially here in Florida or in Arizona where I lived for 33 years. We need health care. And when we take a look at that, what does it all require? Money. Well, as I was approaching this today, I thought, where do I start? Well, I think our Old Testament lesson has a good explanation of this. Starting with verse 19, if you want to read it with me. Everyone also to whom God has given wealth and possessions and power to enjoy them and to accept his lot and rejoice in his toil. I like that. Accept it and rejoice in it. This is the gift of God. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. Too bad Betty's not here. I choose joy. Accept your lot in life and rejoice. How many of us really rejoice in our lot in life? You know, one of the things that we deal with is, well, what are the Joneses doing across the street? Okay? Oh, geez, that looks good. You know, maybe we should do that so we don't look so cheap. You know, there's so many things that go through our minds on that kind of thing. But I want to share this with you. Remember when I told you when Peggy was gone that, I think that's about 4 months ago now, about the call documents I received from that church in Wisconsin? You know, it was one of those things. Normally, when somebody is interested in you as a pastor, they send you a letter of intent. And then if you're interested, you send back a letter, yes, I'm out, and then they send you information, and it's a negotiation until they get the call documents. I got sent call documents. We'd like you to be our pastor. Here's your salary. We just got done fixing up the parsonage. And, you know, I looked at this. 250 members. Salary was well over $70,000 with my pensions and Social Security, $100,000. That ain't bad for being a pastor, is it? But are there more things to being a pastor than just how much money you make? Of course. Well, in the band world, you know, I was a college band director, high school band director for 33 years. We call it the higher, louder, faster syndrome. In other words, if my band just played faster, I'd be happy. Or if my band could play louder, I'd be happy. If it could play higher, I'd be happy. Okay? What's wrong with the band you got? And folks, I've said that many times to band directors. Well, what do you mean? It's not as good as this band down there. And I said, well, what are you getting paid for? See what I'm talking about? You don't need that job down there. You need the job you're in here. Okay, now I'm not talking about call right now. Right now I'm just talking about a job. But when we consider being happy with our lot in life, which is what part of this sermon is on today, and we rejoice in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, but this is where we try and put that round peg in a square hole. Or a square peg in a round, I don't care which one you do. It ain't possible, right? You know, I really thought about this a lot. Peggy and I love it here. Could we be in a bigger church? Sure. That first church that called me in Rockton, Illinois was 500 members. And of course, this week they sent me a letter and said, we'd like you to apply again. It's open. No. You know, it's one of those things. Peggy was here when her mom was sick. She was able to go over and spend time with her. She'd be able to be with her when she passed into glory. Okay? We're in a little church, but we love our people. Okay? People love us. There are worse things in life that you could go through. You know, and that's the thing is, yeah, could I make more money someplace? But with that kind of responsibility comes more time. I'm already putting in usually 5 to 6 days a week on this job. Yep. And then the other thing is, that's true. You know, I do work far more than what I am called to. But if I'm tired one day, I'll say, all right, I'm going to put my feet up and read a book. Okay, I have that. Of course, you know, when you're starting to get closer to 70 than anything else, sometimes you need those. In fact, I can, the first couple years I was here, people on the council come at me, it's time for you to take a day off. I mean, that happened more than once. Why? Well, because I don't mind working. But my first marriage ended because I worked too hard. You know, I put in 80 hours a week. And my son wouldn't come to me, and my ex-wife, I said, what's going on? I said, you're not here. You leave before he gets up, and you don't get home until after he went to bed. Who are you? And you know, it makes a difference, doesn't it? Enjoy what you're doing. Be happy with your lot in life. And rejoice in it. Be happy. Remember Bobby McFerrin? Don't worry, be happy. Okay, great tune, isn't it? You know, he's a PK. His dad was an Episcopal minister. Don't worry, be happy. So what if your house isn't as fancy as the one across the street? You got a nice house? Sure. Okay, what about your car? Is it brand new? No. I mean, you've seen what we drive. The newest one is my SUV, which is a 2008. But they run. And in this day and age, what was that about being sick? No, that's right. But the thing is, just because something is old doesn't mean it's not serviceable. Especially when I was looking in the paper this week and I see that new cars and things like that are $60,000 to $70,000. It's just pocket money, isn't it? Well, how many times have you heard that someone won the lottery? Oh, isn't it great? I won the lottery. I won $200 million. And then you find out a while later that they're not happy with it at all. Yeah, they went out and bought new houses, new cars, and the thing is that they're not happy. So money isn't going to make you happy, is it? No, I don't think so. But what about people like Warren Buffett or Bill Gates? I went to high school with Susie Buffett, Warren's daughter. She runs the Sherwood Foundation now. We used to go over there on Friday nights after games, and this is before video, but they would have a projector set up, and we'd watch movies. They'd go out and rent a movie, you know, except there it's the ones that are on the things like this, and we'd watch movies and have popcorn. And it's Mr. and Mrs. Buffett. Okay, it is. Didn't know that he was the richest man in the world. Then you didn't either. Peggy's got a story about that, but I'll let her share that with you. She sat next to him and didn't know who she knew who he was. But I think all of this, what we're talking about today, is a first commandment issue. Anybody remember what the first commandment is? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right, so when's the last time any of you prayed to Baal or to Allah? Never. Okay? Is that what he's talking about here? Well, partly. Okay? But the other thing is, what else could be a god before you? Money, booze, gambling, sports, your job, huh? A person. You know, we look at this kind of stuff, folks. Can you elevate something to be an idol and replace God? Sure you can. We deal with people like that all the time. Yeah? Yeah, I hear a lot of people talking about it's something that you run into. What the first commandment really deals with is idolatry. What becomes an idol? In our case, it's where money has replaced God as the number one thing in our lives. Why is there a danger of that happening? Well, because money is tempting, isn't it? Just like I talked about that church, a $100,000 salary is tempting. Does that mean it's the best thing for somebody? No. No. But I think when that happens, it's sad and it's a disservice to those we love. Just like when you said the thing about work, I made work an idol. You know, and it's the thing, we do that. I think our Old Testament deals with that. And this is starting with verse 13. I really like what the Old Testament said today because there's a lot of gospel in it. This is a grievous evil that I have seen under the sun. Riches were kept by their owner till he's hurt. And those riches were lost in a bad venture. Man, I got this thing I'm going to invest in. Okay? And then you find out you got taken. Well, you know, if one of those things is bad. Well, yeah, but who's the one that did the investing? That person is a father of a son, but he has nothing in his hand. In other words, I invested, it's gone. He came from his mother's womb, he shall go again. You came with nothing, folks, you're going to leave with nothing. Naked as he came, and shall take nothing for his toil, that he may carry away in his hand. That's like the guy, I saw this, a couple years ago on Facebook. He had a old Cadillac he dearly loved, so they buried the Cadillac with him in it. He's got a lot of use for it, doesn't he? You know what I mean? Those kind of things. This is also a grievous evil. Just as he came, so shall he go. And what gain is there to him who toils for the wind? Moreover, all his days he eats in darkness, in much vexation and sickness and anger. Is he rejoicing in what he's doing? No. Is it easy to fall into that anger? Sure it is. You know, last week I preached on Galatians 5. I didn't even get to the part where it is living in the spirit, living in the flesh. Okay? Because if you're in the spirit, be happy. Bobby McFerrin again. Don't worry, be happy. Rejoice. Although if I say that to you, I could always hear that. But, am I right? You know, accept what is good. And that's because, well, you know, I really shouldn't be treated that well. I'm not the greatest person in the world. Remember, love of self is where love of others start. You know, be happy. It's okay. Accept the good things that come to your life. Don't dwell on the bad things. Okay? Don't make money an idol. So if that's the case, what do we make our idol? God. Okay? He loves us. Love him back. We got to have money. Especially most of us are on Social Security and a pension. Man, it would be nice. I'm looking forward to them raising that Social Security this year, aren't you? Yeah. Well, and it'll probably put us in another tax bracket, and so. You know, but it's going to be nice, okay? But I really think the important thing, especially 1 Timothy, rejoice. Be happy with your lot in life. Yeah, higher, louder, faster syndrome. I would be happy if. No, be happy with. Make sense? Okay. Remember when I preached on Gale Sayers and his book, I Am Third? God is first, my family is second, and I am third. You know, be happy with God. God loves you, love him back. Be happy with your family. Your family loves you, love them back. And be a good steward. And this is, both Paul and Jesus talk a lot in the New Testament about being a steward. Take care of what you have. Do you have to spend a lot of money to be happy? No. Money isn't going to make you happy. And folks, may this happiness give you the peace that passes all human understanding. Amen.